Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you got it with the song. You got it with the song.
I blame Joe Cali then.
This is nice.
I blame Radio's Joe Cali.
My only issue with this, it is Festivus Day, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your week. The holidays right around the corner.
I'm not. You didn't hit me with the classic.
It feels like Christmas should be tomorrow. Like today to me feels like Christmas Eve.
Isn't it?
And I'm having a hard time with Christmas Eve, right?
Like,
yeah, because I know a lot of people do much of their Christmas stuff on Christmas Eve, and then the actual day is more hanging out, maybe a brunch, a dinner, and that's
about it. I think I screwed up this year.
In what way?
I got my Christmas shopping done too soon.
Oh, well,
so it does. Well, yeah, good for me, but now it doesn't feel like Christmas at all.
No, yeah, because there's not that last minute rush to get everything done.
But that's also something
that
I do yearly. Mm. Every year I have a problem. And every year I don't learn my lesson. This year, apparently, I did.
Well, that's
and
good for you.
Yeah, I guess that's good for me, but like now it doesn't feel right.
No, I mean, I'll take it maybe not feeling right if by now I'm not sitting there going, I got to hope I can get to the store today because I got some stuff I need to do.
For me, it's not Christmas until I'm punching a mailman like in Jingle All the Way for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I also have to start watching Christmas movies. It's been weird. I had a family vacation in the middle of December, so like the whole holiday season's kind of gotten thrown up in the air. It feels like Thanksgiving was last week kind of deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we are. Happy Tuesday. Happy Festivus. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it in Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll kind of get to the rest of the show here in just a moment. We do have some Bills news, though, and really NFL news. Pro Bowls participants were announced. And for the Bills, they've got three guys that were named to the Pro Bowl. Josh Allen, James Cook, and Deion Dawkins.
So
each of them, this is now multiple selections.
So James Cook and Deion Dawkins.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. We do also have the quarterbacks in the AFC and NFC. I don't think any of them really are all that surprising. For the NFC, it's Sam Darnold, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford. For the AFC, it is Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Drake May. I think the only one I would you could argue for, at least in the AFC, definitely is maybe Bo Nix over Justin Herbert, or even if you want to go Trevor Lawrence, but his is more of a very recent ascendance over Justin Herbert. But Allen, May makes a lot of sense. Darnold, Stafford make a ton of sense in the NFC. Dak Prescott, Yeah, I'm fine with that. He puts up oogles and boogles of numbers. We'll see more of that stuff coming in as well, especially for the Bills. We'll see if they have any alternate guys. But Allen, Cook, and Dawkins all named to the Pro Bowl. Each of them now multiple times in their career. I also imagine for James Cook, we are hurtling towards an All-Pro season as well. But it is Tuesday. We will not have primetime players today. We're pushing that back to tomorrow. Sal Capaccio is going to jump on with us in about a half hour at 10:30. With it being Christmas week, a little bit of a kind of...
We're shuffling things around.
Shuffling things around. The Bills' schedule this week's a little bit weird. We're going to have practice today. We won't have an injury report, but it'll be fine. Sal's going to jump on, hang out with us for a little bit, talk Bills, Eagles, AFC playoff picture, all that jazz. Because the Bills did, in fact, clinch the playoffs yesterday with the 49ers taking down the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills are now in the playoffs for the seventh straight year. And it is the longest playoff streak in the NFL, which, yeah, is sort of unsurprising. Like, they have just been sort of the model of consistency. I don't want to call them the model of success because they do not have a Super Bowl trophy. They don't even have a Super Bowl appearance. But they have been the model of consistency. You're even seeing it with teams like the Chiefs, where Patrick Mahomes was healthy 99% of this year, at least when they were playoff eligible, and gets hurt on the final drive that ultimately ends their season because they do miss the playoffs.
Yep.
But they were not even winning that game. They were down 16-13, and Patrick Mahomes was not able to will them to a playoff appearance. Lamar Jackson has dealt with injury issues really much of his career, and so they've missed the playoffs before.
Also, a Bills win, like, had Mahomes stayed healthy and like won that game, a Bills win would have eliminated them this weekend anyway.
Right, so they were already hurtling towards not making the playoffs. But Jackson has missed before. Herbert, of course, his whole career is kind of, you know, sort of missed potential. You know, I've complained a lot about the Bills this year. I know. At times I sound like a sourpuss, and I know I do. But there is also something to it of the floor of this team is incredibly high compared to, I would argue, 90% of the league.
And it's really weird. So during Bills pregame on Sunday, I was getting fascinated about the fact that we really could have the playoff field relatively determined. Like, who are the teams? Not where they're slotted, but who are they? And this weekend kind of played exactly out in that manner. The Colts lost. They are two games back. A Houston win or an Indy loss puts them out of it. Baltimore loses. Pittsburgh wins. A Steelers win or a Ravens loss at any point in the next 2 weeks kicks them out. Basically, the Pittsburgh Steelers have to lose two games and the Baltimore Ravens have to win out in order for this to be accomplished. The Ravens, by the way, who do they play next week?
Next week, they are playing Green Bay.
Green Bay. Yep, there it is.
They're at Green Bay.
So, yeah, and Pittsburgh has the Browns.
Right.
So, but now it's Steelers winning in. It's Texans winning in. Everyone else has clinched within the AFC. We know what the conference looks like. It's the seven teams that we've seen. And it's probably going to stay that way. Though the Houston Texans decided to actually show a little bit of mortality and almost lose to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Show me that they're mortal.
Right, yeah. I don't want to feel like, oh no, I'm walking to the inevitable. Frustrating
playoff loss. Jacksonville's already showing that right now. I don't need another South team doing that to me.
The playoffs, though, are going to be, I think, really fun to just keep an eye on, both in the NFC and the AFC. I think the more quality teams are in the NFC. I think those are just going to be really fun matchups. Right now where it sits, it is still Bears-Packers is the 2-7. Philadelphia-Los Angeles is the 3-6. And then Carolina-San Francisco is the 4-5, Seattle being the 1 seed as we sit right now in the NFC. That's a blast. I like all of those matchups. We saw what last year was for the Rams-Eagles in Philadelphia in a bit of a snowstorm. The Rams gave them everything they could handle. always game for a divisional matchup in the playoffs with Green Bay and Chicago. And then Carolina and San Francisco. I really don't know what to kind of make of that. Carolina, really, in general, I don't know what to make of them. One week they look very, very good. Bryce Young looks like the ascending quarterback in the NFC. And the next week he looks like the guy that everyone wanted to give up on and genuinely thought Andy Dalton starting against the Bills may have been better for them. It's not that far away. And then over in the AFC, you know, we've kind of talked about it, but like Houston's defense is incredible. Denver's defense is very good, albeit injured right now. New England might have the MVP this year at quarterback. Jacksonville may have the guy playing the position the best, though, at the moment with Trevor Lawrence. Their defense is also very, very good, and they've sort of figured out their wide receiver room now that they've got Jacoby Myers. And then the Chargers in Pittsburgh. I think they both might suck. Chargers,
wow.
Chargers much more in the sense of you lost both your starting tackles, both of whom are very, very good.
I will give credence to Jim Harbaugh.
I think he is phenomenal.
Like, first of all, we all know how if coaching is going to dictate that game, we all know how that one's going to shake out.
Mm-hmm.
But ready? It's not outlandish. It's not outlandish to think that all three wild cards on the road could win.
100%.
And that's where get to the 5 seed really matters to me because, well, then you get to host a playoff game. Then we don't have to worry about constantly being on the road where the Bills have not been as good this year. At that point, you got to win one game,
mm-hmm.
and then you get a home game, and then you're probably back on the road last time.
And so that's my thing, and I tweeted it out today, and this is sort of going to be
if you can do 2 out of 3 and make that 2 out of 3 on the road,
mm-hmm.
you can survive that.
Right, and so I tweeted out before the show because we've also got the Sabres playing tonight. They're looking for their 7th straight win. The Bills have
clinched
the
playoffs. Daddy loves the Sabres right now.
For the 7th straight year. But what is your belief level in both organizations? Like, for me, with the Bills, it may be much more negative sounding, and in part it's that road that they would have to go through on the playoffs. They have had a good year. Like, there's no doubt about that. You can even argue great.
They
year
win their next two games. It's 13-4
right.
again. The only difference is New England played a bunch of cupcakes
and beat them all,
feasted on them, and you throw your hands up and go, "Why'd you lose to Miami?"
Right. And realistically, you know, New England's big loss would be the Raiders. What was that, week 1 or week 2?
Well, I mean, New England's big loss is probably Buffalo.
Well, no, I mean, but in terms of like dropping one where you're like, oh, how did you do that? It's like week 1 or week 2 where the Bills sprinkled those in. They weren't going to be a 15-2 team, you know, realistically. There was a feeling there early that maybe they could based off the schedule. The talent level, I think, overall on the team kind of stopped that in its tracks. But where I sit with them now, it is that path. So if you can get to the 5, beat a Steelers team, who I don't think is any good, and you whooped them at their place anyways.
And you called the same play 26 times.
Yeah, so you didn't even really show anything. And then let's see if a Houston team can go into New England and beat a young Patriots team who, I'm not going to lie, is not playing their best football. I mean, they're able to not drop 2 in a row after their late bye because Derrick Henry doesn't play for the final 12 minutes and 50 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And Tyler Huntley is the starting quarterback for much of, if not the entire second half, for Baltimore.
You know, that game, I do want to talk a little bit about that because the Ravens, I'm a little upset about how their season's going. You want to know why? Because now they're proving that they do need a new coach.
Right, and you kind of want it to balance to where
you
don't ever get rid of the guy until he retires.
I don't want them to get rid of John Harbaugh. They have to. There's no way you can dance around that this time, right? Like, not after another several mismanagement games where it starts in week 1. It starts in week 1. And
that's just this year. I mean, this has been a problem for them.
This has been a Harbaugh problem for years. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco did yeoman's work for that man's career.
Well, just getting the Super Bowl. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
That's the thing. It's 2012. I remember, I can't remember what Ravens insider was, but with Shopin the Bulldog talking with them, and just he kind of outright said the 2012 Ravens team is probably the worst team talent-wise to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it takes a generational playoff run from Flacco to suddenly get them to a Super Bowl, propel them there, and kind of help fix the career trajectory of John Harbaugh, who, in the 13 years since, has done plenty of self-sabotage. But it's always these decisions. It's always how they manage to perform late in games and how they don't close out teams. And they're so bad at it. But now I'm going to be like, ugh, they're going to get a new coach. They're going to get a new coach. They're going to get some new coaches in there, and it might work. It might not.
I don't think they will.
There's no way. You can't ignore this.
I think you can because they're respectable. They're a respectable organization.
But that's the thing about being a respectable organization. Mm-hmm. You can get a top-end coach.
You can, but ready? I think when you go to ownership, have to convince people it will be infinitely better than what Harbaugh is.
But
what Harbaugh has been the pinnacle of consistency.
I'm ownership. I'm flashing the billboard of Lamar Jackson mm-hmm. and his talent to Clint Kubiak.
But you hope.
That's the thing. You can use your high-end talent on this roster, which they do have.
Right. I mean, they do.
You can use that as a billboard.
We're not seeing a shinier destination.
And the division's bad.
Right. But that's the thing is, this is also a division that outside of Cleveland just doesn't fire coaches. They don't do it. They kind of sit there. Everyone's pretty solid, pretty good, and you just roll with that consistency. It's the bad teams that fire coaches. We don't see that. I don't think enough realistically in the NFL of just you haven't done enough, it's time to go.
Well, the Ravens are a bad team this year, are they not?
They are, but they can absolutely argue Lamar was out for most of this year. He picked up another injury, which that's
kind of become his career. I would be looking at his years past though, say enough is enough. You've been at this for how long now? And it's been 13 years since that Super Bowl. We've gone through several different quarterback regimes and you keep collapsing in games. Like, I think there's enough evidence there that they should be going for a new coach. I think you're right that there's
I think they should. Yeah, don't get
there's
me wrong.
Still a chance that they won't, but I'm going to lean toward, okay, I'm under the assumption right now that they are going to conduct business, that they're going to replace John Harbaugh, because you can't ignore this anymore.
I also wonder, though, and real quick, we'll get to your phone calls, 803-0550, number to call you want to jump on. Thoughts on the Bills, the NFL, the NHL as well. We'll get to the Sabres here in just a little bit. I wonder, too, how much, because all of these owners talk together, they're all in this friend group, it's the fraternity, that camaraderie, the whole thing. How much do some of these NFL teams, and I put the Bills in this too for people that want Sean McDermott fired, how many of them are looking at the Tennessee Titans going, see what happens when you fired Mike Vrabel? I mean, a disastrous decision. And Vrabel, I think too many people, has probably a ceiling. He's a very good coach. There is no argument here. But is he considered the Sean Paytons of the world, even the Jim Harbaughs of the world? Probably not, but he's damn good. Mm-hmm. Even Mike McCarthy, who gets a lot of flack from a lot of people, knowing that he had to put up with both Aaron Rodgers towards the end of his career in Green Bay mm-hmm. and then Jerry Jones and still had some pretty good success. You know, I do wonder if a lot of teams look at that situation that ultimately occurred in Tennessee, watching a franchise essentially, you know, tear its wings off and has not recovered since. I wonder if that gives some of these organizations pause. We also see, and it's just Baltimore, Jackson, how many more years do you actually have with him? So do we want to rock the boat that much in what might be the final 4, maybe 5 years of his career? He gets hurt a lot, and he also misses a lot of practice due to illnesses and stuff like that. He is not somebody that is at times the most healthy player in the world. And so I do wonder if that plays into some of these decisions of, I just watched a team like Tennessee, who not that long ago was the one seed and beat Baltimore in the playoffs on the road and has been able to go to an AFC championship game and such, but want to do a little bit better, and it collapsed on them. Not saying it's always the wrong decision. I don't want to put that fear in that thinking that I never want to try. I'm not against that. But we've also seen now enough to where the grass is oftentimes not greener. Penn State, I like who they got in Matt Campbell, but boy, it took them a long time to get there. It took them a long time, and it took them losing basically their entire recruiting class to their ex.
Right.
Before they end up hiring somebody. So I don't disagree. I think at this point we've seen enough with Harbaugh. He's had enough run here. He's also got enough goodwill that you can kind of leave on good terms.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how many of these successful teams are really going to want to do that. I even mentioned two. If the Bills miss the playoffs this year with Josh Allen, healthy Josh Allen, they're not going to, obviously. We know that. But if they were to,
yep.
I've said it multiple times, many people have to get fired. You cannot miss the playoffs with a generational talent at quarterback. I say the same thing about the Chiefs. That does not mean, though, that I think they're going to fire Andy Reid or right. even Brett Veach. I have no idea what they're going to do. But somebody probably has to get fired for missing the playoffs with, for 90% of their active season, 99% of their active season, Mahomes is fully healthy.
Yeah, he's up until the very end, he's healthy. And I think that's going to be the biggest problem there is how do you manage to screw that up that badly with this team? But also, it showed that Kansas City was relatively flawed even last year in their 15-2 mm-hmm. season, where they win, what, 13
I mean, one-score games? I think they won every close game, yeah.
Yeah, but the number's up to 12 or 13. That's mm-hmm. the thing. The Bills game they lose when Josh Allen has that touchdown, it puts them up 10.
Yeah, it goes to double digits, yeah.
But that kind of showed you what was kind of wrong with the Chiefs as well. It was just this, yeah, no, they were kind of getting more lucky than good last year. They did nothing to fix it. Took the wrong lessons out of it and have collapsed because of the same problems that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Their wide receiver room is not very talented. Their offensive line's bad. Their defense is getting older.
And they have no run game.
They have no second option. But also, if you have an inkling of an offensive line, you could have a run game.
You could maybe figure it out.
Pacheco's
yeah.
not terrible. He's not Buns.
No. Yeah, they're in such a, I don't want to say precarious spot, but like maybe, because I don't really know how much longer Reed's going to go. And that's the thing. I mean, you bring up Clint Kubiak. I love him in Seattle. I think he has done incredible work there. Mm-hmm. You have no idea if he'll work.
That's the thing. A hotshot offensive coordinator for every Liam Cohen and Ben Johnson.
You have Adam Gase.
Or Matt Nagy.
Like, you know, that's, and that's where you're I always get very nervous about
for every
that.
One of those, you get three of the mm-hmm. other.
Yep, 100%. 803-0550, again, the number to call. We want to jump on the show here. We'll go to the phones here before our first time out. Julian is on the line. Julian, how are we doing?
Hey, good morning, folks. Happy holidays to you and the family.
You as well.
Absolutely, thank you. Yeah, I just want to touch base on the, what, players of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got three for the Bills. Highly doubt they'll get it. But Josh Allen, I really feel like he deserves MVP again. Just simple fact that, most valuable player. He, without Josh Allen, I mean, sorry to say, I feel like we'll be the drought Bills again. But really feel like Josh Allen should get MVP this year. Same as James Cook. I feel like he definitely deserves Offensive Player of the Year. Just what this man has been doing for us. And listen, I'll sign that apology for him quick. Because I know at the beginning of the season, I thought he was asking for too much for 15 mil. Like, we could get better production out of Ray Davis and Ty Johnson. And listen, I'll sign that apology for him quick, man. I feel like we underpaid him. But
yeah,
James Cook, phenomenal, especially the way he reaches for these touchdowns. And not just doing it once or twice. He's doing it multiple times throughout the season. Like, this guy, man, what, he's going to look like Space Jam. Michael Jordan stretching his arm out for the touchdown. So definitely believe James Cook deserves Offensive Player of the Year. And then can we get props to the rookie, Walker?
Like, oh, Deion Walker, yeah.
Yeah, man. I feel like he's not getting not enough people are talking about him, just the way he's been performing for us, where we lost Hoyt and Ed Oliver, and the way his man has stepped up and play after play. He's just a dog. So I really feel like he deserves Rookie of the Year. I don't know anybody else in the league that's a rookie that's kind of standing out, but obviously Bill's in here. I'm going to root for my dog. And then, yeah, that's pretty much what I got. So thank you, fellas. Go Bills, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Julian. Thanks for the call.
I can help you out with a little bit of this, Julian. Your second one's probably going to be your best point with James Cook. Allen, look, he probably is the most valuable player on this team. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are numbers that can back up that James Cook has been just as valuable to this team this year. The Bills have lost four games this year. James Cook had under 100 yards rushing in three of those losses. And the offense looked wholly unimpressive in those three losses where James Cook has less than 100 yards. The other one is Houston, where James Cook somehow gets 116 yards rushing against the Houston Texans. You can't have an Offensive Player of the Year and an MVP on the same team. That was the entire argument against the Ravens last year with Lamar Jackson. So, sorry, like that's just... I don't mean to burst your bubble in the holiday spirit, but that's just kind of how it is. I think it's most realistic to be looking at James Cook. Like, it's okay. Allen doesn't – we don't need Josh Allen MVP discussion this year. It's not there. It's just not there. And it has more to do with the Bills' play calling than anything else. Like, Allen is valuable. That is correct. Josh Allen has a lot of games where he doesn't even throw for 200 yards this year.
Yeah, you know, last year
it's okay.
Last year the stats didn't show out, but it was more the valuable. He's not really doing with a ton of guys. No one really knew how good James Cook was.
But James Cook
he wasn't even having this year.
Yeah, James Cook is having. James Cook might have the rushing title.
Well, right now he is still above Jonathan Taylor. He is one carry behind Taylor for the most in the league this year. Like that's and
it's the Bills play calling.
You said
that's what's doing it.
Yeah, you said it. I don't want to go too far in depth because you've already said it. But like that was my whole argument against Lamar last year. You have Derrick Henry putting up what he did go over 2,000 yards or just under.
Yeah, so relatively just under.
It's him and Saquon battling for the rushing title. I can't give them that quarterback the MVP because like you mentioned, like most valuable. And right now, while I don't love his receiver room at all, I don't love the Bills receiver room at all. He does have a potential NFL rushing leader and probably first team all pro running back that he's handing the ball to. And there are a number of games, a number of big wins these last 2 years, even, but definitely this year, where Allen can kind of just hand the ball off to Cook and let him go.
How many times has James Cook, by the way, there's a stat correction. The Bills have six games where James Cook has run for less than 100 yards. They still lost three of those. I forgot Baltimore. They don't run the football because the game script demands that he can't anymore.
Correct.
But how many times has James Cook flipped the game on his head? James Cook is the one that gets the party started. It's not Allen. It's Cook. How many times has that happened this year? Carolina, where he runs for 216 yards.
I thought he was going to do that against Cleveland. I thought he was going to do it against
Cleveland.
Cleveland,
he breaks it open. He starts the party. He has a big run in almost every game that he has this sort of thing. Pittsburgh, they run the same play to hilarious results. It's okay. It's okay if Josh Allen isn't the MVP. That doesn't make me a hater. That doesn't make anyone a hater to say, nah, it's cool. This year, it's not it.
I just wanted to go to Stafford, not May.
If it's Drake May, it's Drake May.
If I'm being honest. No, but like
I'm sitting over here with the MVP going, and I did this last year too. Who the bleep cares?
Yeah, now, well, and I'm there now where I want the Super Bowl trophies. He's got, Allen got his.
I was there last year. Yeah. I was sick of hearing from Ravens fans about this argument or national media complaining back and forth to each other. Like, no, enough. Like, I know that they have to have content and, yelly, screamy shows. It's perfect. Josh Allen does not need to be inserted in those discussions this year. Because James Cook has one carry less than Jonathan Taylor for the most in the league, and he has more yards. He has the NFL rushing title as we see it right now in week 16. Wow. It's okay.
Yeah, he's been incredible, though. And I do agree with Julian, though. I'll be one of the first also to sign the signature. I didn't really care to sign him back this year. I thought they would be just fine. And no, he is their best running back since LeSean McCoy. He is having the best Bills rushing season since OJ in the 70s. It's been absolutely incredible to see Cook ascend to this level player. 803-0550, the number two call. We are late to a break, and coming up next, we'll get more on the Bills and the AFC in general. Sal Capaccio joins the show. The Bills do have practice today, though. We will not get an injury report. Bit of a weird week with the holiday on Thursday. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio,
Sal
Capaccio,
Sal
Capaccio,
Sal
Capaccio,
Sal
Capaccio,
Sal
Capaccio,
Sal
Capaccio
on WGR.
Hour number one rolls along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before we get to Sal here, we did mention the Pro Bowl announcements came out today. The Bills have three guys, all of whom have now become regular names that you see for Bills Pro Bowlers, that being, of course, quarterback Josh Allen, running back James Cook, and left tackle Deion Dawkins. I'm getting this from Ari Miroff, who is of the 33rd team. Teams with no Pro Bowlers, Two of them on.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Unsurprising, the New York Jets and the New Orleans Saints. The other one, man, if you would have said this to start the year, most people would have laughed at you. Right to the bank. Minnesota Vikings with no Pro Bowlers. What a disastrous year for them.
I think so. You know what's funny, though? Because this is a good time to bring Sal in on this discussion, because I saw his tweet, so it made me go looking for it. Do you know what team is tied for the most amount of Pro Bowlers this year?
Ooh, I don't. I didn't see that. I saw about the Minnesota thing, which I agree with Zach. Oh, that's crazy to think about with that roster. That wouldn't happen. What team is tied for the most amount of Pro Bowlers this year? Give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
How about LA Rams?
No, the Rams, right division, the 49ers and Seahawks both have six. They are tied with two teams, Denver, and for some reason, Baltimore.
Water's wet. Baltimore will have a lot of Pro Bowlers.
So Baltimore is one of them. I just tweeted out a little while ago. I normally don't care for this kind of stuff. It's just,
and this is where it got me started.
Popularity. Yeah, I normally don't care. But I will say, I did care today because Reggie Gilliam, for what he's meant to the Bills' top rushing offense in the NFL, he got passed over for Patrick Ricard, who's played 9 games this year.
Water's wet. Baltimore will have their Pro Bowlers.
Baltimore has their Pro Bowlers.
Sal, it is something. I'm with you. I don't really care for the Pro Bowl. I won't watch the Pro Bowl games. I'm not part of that. I think the demographic that usually likes that stuff. But I care for it for guys' careers. I know some of these guys have that in their contract. Yeah. They get bonuses, the whole thing. And I don't know what Baltimore has done. It does not matter about their record. It doesn't matter who's starting at quarterback, by the way, because let's all remember, Tyler Huntley did get voted into the Pro Bowl. They will have a ton of these guys. It does not, and it bothers me so much. It really does.
I think Huntley went because there was like injuries, right, or things like that. I'm not really sure, but either way.
Eventually, but it got to Tyler.
It eventually got to him, and it was just like, come on, what are we doing?
But you know, you're right. You remember back early in the season, it was like, oh my God, that Baltimore secondary has five first round picks or whatever it is, right? Yeah. Like, they're just not that good on defense, to be honest with you.
It feels like Kyle Hamilton and a bunch of dudes, which is, again, crazy to think about when you started the season because you have guys like Marlon Humphrey and stuff like that. But Hamilton's like the one guy I really like on their defense. But Sal,
how many Bills fans, crush the Bills for not trying to sign and whatever you want to say for Jair Alexander?
Right.
Right?
And then we,
I mean, like,
is getting
this is, exactly, you can't, a name, it's a name. That's what it is. You have to, you know, think about and evaluate the player, not just the name.
Mm-hmm.
Jair Alexander did nothing and then obviously he retired, whatever. I don't know what situation. The point was, the Bills secondary is playing really well this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sal, it's a bit of a weird day. Normally, you're off on Tuesdays, but with the Christmas holiday being on Thursday, we got a little bit of a shuffle here for the Bills. They still play on Sunday, 4:25 at home against Philadelphia, but a little bit of a weird day today. We are expecting to hear from Sean McDermott again. Is that correct?
Yeah, today at 3:15 or so, we'll hear from Sean McDermott. I don't know if he'll give us any more of an indication or update on anything different than yesterday. So a back-to-back day of hearing from him. And, you know, I don't really know if that's going to matter in any regard. I would say, you know, and the other thing to think about here is, you know, we don't have any injury reports until tomorrow and there's no media tomorrow. So Thursday's Christmas, kind of the same thing. At the end of the day, I think that you're probably not going to get much of an injury update until next week. Until the end of the week, till Friday when McDermott's on with me on the Extra Point Show. So, yes, but today we will hear from Sean McDermott. There will be a walkthrough today. Media will be allowed to get in after the walkthrough to talk to Josh Allen. We'll hear from him. He was named to the Pro Bowl. And it will be like a normal Wednesday today, with the only difference is there's no actual injury report officially.
So, Sal, normally don't get to talk on Tuesday, so usually we jump right ahead to the next game, the next week, what have you. But I do want to talk a little bit about Sunday against Cleveland. It was a frustrating win. It's not surprising this year. They've had a few of those. They still get the win, and that's the important part. But, you know, it even started a little bit strange, even when you look at the inactives going in on Sunday, both Keon Coleman and Gabe Davis being inactive. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, but there's a numbers situation going on at wide receiver, and the way that Sean McDermott explained it yesterday was basically that. It's numbers. They really only want five wide receivers active apparently right now. They could go with six. They have seven on the roster, and that includes Mecole Hardman. He's kind of the fly in the ointment, not saying that as a negative way, but because he's a return man, but he also can help at wide receiver. They want him out on the field, and I know fans look and say, oh, wait a minute, he didn't even return the final punt. Well, McDermott explained, look, it was windy. He had just come back from returning punts. They trust Khalil Shakir back there. They wanted to make sure that he caught it and everything was good. So if you want to make the argument, well, if they don't trust Mecole Hardman, why is he active? I totally get it. Coming off the injury, though, not playing as much and not seeing as many punts, and Khalil Shakir's been back there, I understand that line of thinking. We'll see what happens. Now, as far as Davis and Coleman, they were healthy scratches, and McDermott said that, you know, their time will come and their opportunity, and they'll be ready for their opportunity. The Bills are basically, what they're doing is just trying to figure out the best combination of wide receivers, you know, how that looks. And it felt to me like what they wanted to do on Sunday against the Browns was go with more of a speed group. But maybe that changes against a team like the Eagles or a team like the Jets or in the playoff game, right? So we'll see. They're just trying to figure out a puzzle and put together the best combination as far as the game plan.
It ultimately did lead to a somewhat up-and-down performance, I think, Sal, from the offense. James Cook looked early like he was going to have one of those games like he did against Carolina. It didn't ultimately happen. And, you know, really the second half, I think, overall, you know, I know Bulldog has talked about this to start this week, but, like, the game never felt in danger, Sal. But boy, did they want to make it feel tight, and it really did in the second half. Again, you know, they're playing a bad Browns team. They did a wonderful job against Myles Garrett, and that should be commended. It's just, it's one of those games, I guess for me, Sal, where I'm looking at it and going, I don't know about this year. I know what the AFC playoff bracket looks like, but then I you know, later go on and watch Jacksonville going to Denver and beat them by 14, and Trevor Lawrence has, what, 10 total touchdowns in like his last two games? And I'm just like, oh, man, it both feels like the easiest path the Bills have had in years in the playoffs, and it, in equal measure, feels like the hardest because of the Bills themselves.
Well, Jacksonville's playing great football. There's no doubt about it. If you want to, you know, put yourself in a position of, you know, playing certain teams in certain games, of course, that team right now looks like they're going to be a tough out, right? But, you know, that they're playing their game at that time. The Bills are playing their game at their time. The Bills are playing the Browns. The Jacksonville Jaguars are playing the Denver Broncos. You can't play each game's got to be played separately. You can't play different teams in different weeks. As I always say, every game, every week, its own DNA, right? But as far as the Bills' offense last week, I think it's important to remember that, as you brought up, they did a great job on Myles Garrett, but I think it also limited the offense a little bit because they were so focused on Myles Garrett. What I mean by that is, if you go watch the game, I mean, a lot of stuff was just to the right. Josh Allen rolling to the right. I think the Bills kind of played half a field game a little bit against the Cleveland Browns, and I do think that limited their offense. And on top of that, they made a few mistakes. They dropped passes. You know, Josh was 12 of 19, but he had a clear drop by James Cook in the first play of the second half, I believe it was. He had a clear drop by Brandon Cooks. He had a clear drop in the end zone by Dawson Knox. I mean, those are big plays. Josh actually missed Khalil Shakir on an open. They made their share of mistakes. So it should have never been as close as it was at the end. But I also think they kind of reduced the field on offense and intentionally limited what they could do to make sure Myles Garrett didn't wreck their game.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline here. Sal, as the Bills officially clinch a playoff berth, by the way, last night, thanks to the Colts losing to the 49ers, it does really feel like that the seven teams within the postseason field have relatively been set at this point. Like, yes, Indianapolis is not totally eliminated, nor is Baltimore and their six Pro Bowlers, but I do have to say, what is it, like, when it comes to this playoff field, how comfortable are you feeling when it comes to what the Bills are capable of compared to the rest of the AFC and the other six teams that are relatively set in place?
The Bills can beat any team in the field. They can also lose to any team in the field. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, and I think we've seen that, especially going on the road. And they're going to probably have to go on the road for three straight games the way it looks. Now, a lot can happen. They could be a five seed and still host a six or seven and, you know, down the road in the championship game or something like that, you would hope, right? That'd be great, no doubt. But as it stands right now, if you're a four, five, or six, I'm sorry, if you're a five, six, or seven, you're probably going on the road for three straight games. And we know the Bills on the road just haven't been the same team as they are at home. And you think about some of the possibility of the places they could go. You go to Denver, that's a tough place to play. Mile High Stadium, the air is different, the crowd is tough, no doubt about that. You go to New England, they just saw that a couple weeks ago, right? That's a team that's up and coming, and you know that's a tough divisional opponent on the road. You hope you don't have to go to Houston, no doubt about that. I think Bills fans are okay with going to Pittsburgh, but guys, at Pittsburgh right now, Pittsburgh could wind up resting their older players because it looks like they're going to get basically locked into the four seed. So maybe you're playing a team coming off rest. I think all of that adds up to, yes, of course I love the fact that they have Josh Allen and there's no Patrick Mahomes and no Joe Burrow and maybe no Lamar Jackson, but this is going to be a tough road to go every game, three games on the road. You can't look ahead to each game. You just have to play every game as it is. You go into that game with a solid game plan, you get out, and you do it the old Jim Valvano from NCAA basketball. You survive in advance, and that's what this is going to come down to for this tournament. It's great, though, to have the Bills in the playoffs already. We know that. Seven straight years is impressive. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what team you are and what league you are. When you make, you know, in the NFL especially, you know, it's not like hockey or basketball where a lot more teams make it, basically, but you make the playoffs in the NFL for seven straight years, that's impressive. You win division title for five straight years and still are alive here for a 6-1, even if they don't get it. That shows a consistency that you normally don't get. The Bills are now the longest active playoff team in the NFL with seven straight years now that Kansas City is out. And I get it. They haven't won. They haven't made it to the Super Bowl. They haven't even won an AFC championship, no doubt. And fans are disappointed, and the standard is there. And this talk is totally different in a few weeks. If they lose, nobody's going to care they made seven straight. I get it. But I do think you have to take time to recognize how consistently good they've been compared to the rest of the league when you think about it.
And Sal, yeah, and we'll get to the Philadelphia Eagles and that matchup more tomorrow. But last thing on this, Sal, I mentioned it to start the show that I don't want to call them the model of success because I think that does leave open, you know, well, they haven't won a Super Bowl, and I think that's right. They have, though, been the model of consistency. McDermott, Allen, Bean, you know, for the criticisms I have for two of them, you know, notwithstanding, they have been able to build maybe the most consistent team in football. Their floor is 10 wins. I think that 10, maybe even 11 wins. I think you can take that to the bank. And it is, I mean, ultimately, Sal, look, Patrick Mahomes is healthy for 99% of the we're still in the playoff hunt Kansas City Chiefs this year. He gets hurt on the last drive of the season, and they were still looking to be out of the playoffs. And yet the Bills, outside of like a few moments, really have just not had that worry. Because even you go back a few years ago, they just light up December and they're 11-6 and no worries.
This is why I hate, really, it annoys me, the talk of what does it say about, it's specifically about Josh Allen. What does it say about Josh Allen if he can't get to a Super Bowl in this year and this field with all these guys out? And my response is, Well, what does it say about the guys who couldn't even make it to the field?
Right.
I mean, like, either way, he's going to advance farther than Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, it looks like, or Joe Burrow. I mean, it's the whole thing years ago, whether you like LeBron or hate him, and I know he's polarizing, I used to think this about LeBron when people would bring up his finals record. Well, you know, he's lost all these times in the finals. I'm like, dude, he's making it. You're comparing to people who can't even get there. Like, what? Mm-hmm. How is that even, mm-hmm. like, how is that? How does he get docked for that? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, you're going to open up Pandora's box here. But I'm like, the man made 10 finals. Like, we're not going to all of a sudden start picking and going, well, you know, but he lost this one. No, he made 10 of them. It's incredible. All right, Sal.
I know, right? You bring that up. People bring that up. But what about the dudes who couldn't beat him to get there? He should be penalized for that? And look, I mean, it's ridiculous. So anyway, you're right. Like, I mean, what the Bills have done here is super impressive. But obviously, the journey's not over. And obviously, we know what the goals are. And obviously, those are still ahead of them here. There are way too many playoff possibilities that I'm going so far down the rabbit hole, and having Christmas this week and watching games mm-hmm. and being home, probably not good for my, my scatterbrain to try and go down the rabbit hole, because all I keep doing is doing all the math on these games going on and where each team can finish and all the seeds. And I'm talking, I mean, every seed is still available, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It does not matter. You don't know. The Bills could still win the division. We know that. And then they could be like a 2 seed. I mean, heck, the 1 seed's even in play. But even if they don't, I mean, you look at what's happening. They could still travel to Pittsburgh, Denver, Jacksonville, LA Chargers. I mean, all these teams are still on the
Houston,
table.
Houston, unfortunately, is in that conversation. Everything's there.
I mean, yes, no doubt.
The only seed they can't get is the 4, Sal. And like, that's just how crazy this season has been as a whole.
Better strap in, though. Your mental health on Christmas is going to be tough with all backup quarterbacks.
Oh, hey,
I think
those games, we can ignore those.
I'm sorry, guys. I think I was talking over you. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
You said the only seed they can't get is the 4, right? Yeah, and that's right. And it brings up the whole debate from last week about reseeding playoffs and all that. And it's a really good debate. I don't know. I mean, you look at the AFC and the NFC. Take a look at the NFC for a second. You're going to have probably, like, let's just say right now, San Fran and L.A., Rams, both those teams are going to go on the road to teams I think that everybody would say they're better than.
Yeah.
I mean, in one case, one of them is going to go on the road to play Tampa or Carolina, and the road team, in this case would be the Rams or the 49ers, let's say, would have, like, 4 more wins than the team they're playing at.
Yep. We get these weird years every now and then. I think it makes it more exciting, but it also can be very frustrating when even at times to a team with a losing record is all of a sudden hosting a playoff game. Sal, we got to run, though. We're a little bit late. We'll talk again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Festivus.
All right, you got it, guys. Have a great week.
Zach Baccio there on the Wester Hotline. By the way, last thing on the Pro Bowl, Zay Flowers made it for the Ravens, of course, one of their 6. Mm-hmm. He has more fumbles than touchdowns. He has 3 fumbles to 2 touchdowns. I love that we do this every year. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, 803-0550, the number to call. I want to jump on, talk playoff, you know, matchups, potential, what have you, or even the Sabres as well. We'll get to them more in the second hour as they look for their 7th straight win tonight at Ottawa. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR. We ran late. It's fine. We went late with Sal there, so we got to take another timeout here real quick. When we come back, coming up in just about 15 minutes or so, Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen is meeting with some of the media in Ottawa. We'll carry that live for you at around 11:15 or so as the Sabres are looking for their 7th straight win this year. They have not gotten into a playoff spot, but they have caught basically everyone they can to fight for a playoff here as the holiday gets closer on Thursday. If you're on hold, though, we'll get to you when we come back. Before that, 803-0550, the number to call. Want to talk Bills, Sabres. Love to hear from you. And we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Chance from the corner at the empty net, and that's just going to go wide. Now the no icing of the play. What a play! Peyton Krebs racing up ice after Thompson went for the empty net, and Peyton Krebs buries it, and what a timely goal that is for him, his first of the season.
Dan Dunleavy on the call there. Yeah, Peyton Krebs' first goal of the season seals away win number 6 for the Buffalo Sabres against the New Jersey Devils on Sunday night. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're here with you hanging out. We will be hearing from Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen in a few minutes as well. But Zach, six in a row. I'm giddy because what did I say repeatedly on this show about the Buffalo Sabres this season?
Just do something different.
Be different. And brother, are they different this year in a different way because, well, one, you moved on from Kevyn Adams.
Mm-hmm.
That's different in and of itself. But now the Buffalo Sabres, with a win tonight, Zach, would have their longest win streak since 2018.
And that's when they go to 11, right? That's the tenor. Okay, so I talked a little bit about that last night on the nightcap. I was at the San Jose game.
That one was wild.
And outside of the specialty nights, right, Ryan Miller night, which I was not in attendance, but watching it was really cool. I was at RJ night. I cried. I mean, I didn't even expect that either. Like, I'm more of an emotional guy, but less crying-wise. But, like, even that got me.
I'm just thinking of Shorzy now crying at anthems. And
absolutely.
That's just you.
And, but those all had special meaning, right? Like you're going there to reminisce and to live the memories.
Right. Skinner night was awesome. Like,
Skinner night, right. But the San Jose game, speaking about Skinner, overtime winner. There was nothing to that other than the win streak, but I was there with my buddy Joe, who was actually in town. I was at dinner with him last night. We were at that game, and it was just like, oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
And
at that point, the Bills are still relatively new on the scene in terms of being a playoff
correct.
Team and all that stuff. So, like, that to me, I mean, I remember the next day watching the NHL Network, which never has live programming.
I know, not anymore.
And they actually did that day, and they're going to, like, you know, cut probability and playoff probability, and the Sabres are like 90%. And I'm like, let's go!
And then they very much were not.
But, I mean, it was so much fun. Like, that streak. And this has similar feelings to that. It's not what
funny
it was 2 years
ago. Funny how you
mentioned
the atmosphere, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a fraction of the power that could be out there. And, obviously, a little older than you. Therefore, I know a little bit. But I've experienced a little bit more of the Buffalo Sabres when they were at their peaks. And, or at least their peaks within this century.
Mm-hmm.
But my big deal about this is, you have an opportunity to match that type of streak. You've already tied the longest streak within Adams' tenure, and Adams got fired halfway through this one.
Yeah.
Because the longest win streak in Adams' entire tenure is 2022, six in a row, where they end December of 2022 winning against that Boston team.
Is that New Year's Eve?
That's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
And they win in overtime against that Bruins team. That was so good. They set the record that year. And now, okay, what happened that year? You were pointing out the playoffs. With how their season started, yes, it would sting if they make it like a point or two or three away from the postseason again. But a return to relevance would be back to where we're standing. And something you said to me off air, Zach, I don't know if you said this on air, but ultimately, the dagger that dooms Kevyn Adams, and I'll let you finish the point on that, is not within these bad seasons. It's after the good one.
Right. And so my thing has always been, it's been the long death for Adams' tenure as GM. Because for me, the moment that he zigged and should have zagged, or however you want to put it, is the summer of 23, where you did have the relevancy. I've said this before on air. You had the relevancy. You had growing respect. I'm not saying you had the full respect, but growing respect around the league.
You were hot and young.
Yeah, you were the fun young. You're scoring like the wind. Everyone wants to be you. You're the envy of the league. You also had guys that just out of nowhere. Tage Thompson goes from an afterthought, late first round pick, kind of failing in St. Louis, gets to Buffalo, doesn't look great. Wait, what do you mean he's scoring 40 goals this year?
Dylan
what do you
Cousins
mean
he has his best career shot? Year.
Yeah, Dylan Cousins' his career year. And then you still have Rasmus Dahlin. Granato has this aura about him that he might be this next really good coach that he's going to just, even if he gets fired from the Sabres, he's going to be bouncing around. Because look what he's been able to do with these young guys. And that offseason, it's Eric Johnson, Connor Clifton, re-sign Kyle Okposo. There's probably another move in there I'm missing. But
that's
it's
the end
those
of the list.
Three that I really go to. And I think that's the miss. And you talk about it, too, with Adams. It was the inactivity. What's most exciting about this, and it has not reached the levels of that 10-game win streak. It hasn't even reached the levels of the late run in 22 where they, you know, Levi starting all these games. They're making it close. They missed by one. Like, that was a ball. And even like January, February, I think, where they find themselves in a playoff spot. And you could tell it's going to be a run here to the end of the year. But the difference is, and I said this after they beat New Jersey, the difference is I actually have faith in the front office, especially now when you add in guys like Mark Bergevin, who has almost a decade of success. And speaking of that, we are going to go now actually to Ottawa as Jarmo Kekäläinen is speaking on the new hires, including Mark Bergevin.
Jarmo, let's start with Mark Bergevin, if we could. What was the thoughts in hiring him, and what does he bring to the organization?
I think he brings a lot of experience, something that I was looking for, somebody that's been in my seat and knows the ins and outs of it and what you're dealing with. So, and I've always had a lot of respect for him as a general manager who was at the other end of it when we were talking about things. And I know he works hard. He's a good player evaluator. I think his track record in Montreal, as far as the trades go, is one.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Among the best in the league. So I think it's a great fit for us.
Do you overlap with him anywhere? Do you have any connections to him? Obviously, you were both general managers at the same time. But have you ever worked with him on any level or anything?
No, I haven't. But obviously, we always talk regularly among the GMs, and I see who are scouting a lot, because I do it quite a bit myself, whether it's the World Junior or under 18s or in the press boxes around the league. And I know he takes that part very seriously, so he's a good fit.
When you look at bringing Josh Flynn in from Columbus, I mean, how are the duties now going to get spread around with Karmanos out? Who's going to run the Amerks, and how are things going to be looking here?
Well, we'll get to that in short order here. We've already talked amongst the staff that everybody's going to have a role, everybody's going to have an important role, and the responsibilities are going to be spread. We're going to be working on this together as a team, just like the guys on the ice, and sometimes you're going to have to grind, sometimes you're going to be on the power play, and sometimes you're going to penalty kill. So that's going to be the situation among the staff too. Everybody's going to have a good attitude about it, and we'll all work together.
What can you tell us about Josh?
Josh is a guy that I worked together for a long time. He's extremely organized. He's an attorney. He knows the cap. the CBA in and out. He knows the analytics. He's got scouting experience. He's from Toronto, so he was grown up watching hockey, following hockey, loving hockey. So he knows exactly the way I want things organized, and that'll bring a valuable asset to our staff. Putting all different areas together for me to sometimes dumb it down a bit.
At this point, at least, are Jerry Ford and Mark Jakubowski being retained?
Yes. We're all going to work together. I've taken very close look at our amateur scouting process, and the staff, and they do a good job, and they're very diligent about their work, and I'm happy with the way things have gone so far on that side. That's why I attended the Linka tournament in August, so I can speak with them and talk to them, to know them, and I was there already for when they were preparing for the draft, so I have a good idea on how they go about their business, and Mark's been with the organization for a long time, and he's done a good job, so I've really enjoyed my time working with Mark.
And you told us when you got the job, you're impressed with a lot of the young players that the Buffalo Sabres have, and Jerry Fortin has been responsible for drafting and scouting a lot of those players. So with that in mind, does that help you maybe be a little bit more impressed with Jerry, with some of the players that he scouted and the Sabres have been able to draft?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've told all of our staff that we need to be the best in the league as far as drafting and developing players. That's going to be the model that we're going to follow, because that'll bring us the core that we need, but also the depth chart that we need moving forward when we have to plan into the future.
What kind of timeline are you looking at in terms of building this front office? Is it a case of when you want to bring somebody in, you'll do it, or are you trying to do more before the season ends, or is it a heavy lift after the season? Like, how is this going to go? What do you mean?
Well, I think these moves were necessary now that we made, and that's why we made them now, and I've told everybody all along that we're going to keep evaluating the staff, our goal is to get better every day as a staff too, that's what I expect from everybody, to approach their job with diligence that is going to make us better into the future. So, everybody has to have the same goal, and we're going to have to work together. And if we need to add some people, we'll add some people.
What have you seen from the team that has helped you get on this winning streak and helped you play better, helped you protect leads, that type of thing? What have you seen from the team lately that you've seen improvement in?
I think we've been disciplined. I think we're playing to win rather than playing to score another goal. And I think that's important as the team matures and learns to play the right way, is to understand that there are certain situations when you're up 3-1 or 4-2 or whatever it may be that you don't have to score another goal. You just need to play the right way to win.
You talked at your initial press conference about sustainable success as opposed to just trying to make the playoffs this year. In these first couple weeks, and even in the few months you've been in the organization, what do you see that helps you feel like there is the chance for sustainable success here? How do you kind of enhance that now that you're the GM instead of an advisor?
I think our core is fairly young. I think they have a lot of potential to get much better, more experienced, and keep improving from the inside that way. I think that's a big part of it. Obviously, the veteran experience is a big part of success too. Understanding what it takes to win, understanding what it means to be a real pro. But I see a lot of potential in some of our young players that they can really keep getting better, and that'll make our team better.
Noah Austlin spent last year in the minors, but you watch him play now. He does not look out of place at all, has played very well. Probably played well enough that he may not go down to Rochester anymore. Being as young as he is, what have you seen that has maybe kind of put him ahead of maybe some other youngsters that are his age?
Well, I've been really pleased with his play in the last few games. He's looked more and more confident, more comfortable, and he's a smart player. But there's a perfect example of a guy that can't just be happy about being in the NHL or staying in the NHL. He's going to need that drive and desire to keep getting better. And I think the ceiling is real high for a player with that kind of hockey IQ. But that's a perfect example of a player that can take his level of play up a lot from where he's at now, right now, even though he's playing good.
We spoke about the three goalies at your initial press conference. So Alex has played very well. Uka Pekka had a very nice game. Are you still looking at maybe getting down to two goalies in the near future?
We'll get to that when the right time comes. I think if I said that before, that the rotation with three goalies is tough. The repetitions in practice is tougher with three goalies. We've had Colton Ellis in the injured reserve list, so it's not something that we need to think about right now. And our goalies have been playing really well lately, so we'll get to that when the right time comes.
Do you have any update on Yuri Kulik at this point?
No, I don't. We're just all hoping that it'll solve itself here soon. And his health is the most important thing, obviously. And then after he gets healthy, then we'll get the good hockey player back as well.
Do you anticipate, though, at some point he would play this season?
I would certainly hope so. But I'm going to I just need to rely on the medical people to give me the information that his health is good.
I'm curious about the way you go about things. Let's say, for example, you want to trade for player A. Of course, you're going to talk to your staff. But do you bring a guy with the experience like Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff into and just to hear their thoughts on a player before maybe you make a move on a certain player?
Yeah, always talking to the coach about the fit within our team in particular. And then there may be a player that the coach has coached before, so he knows him personally. And as I've said many times, character is really important for us. It's not just what you see on the ice, but what the character on the ice, but then also off the ice. Is he a good teammate? Does he take care of himself off the ice and those kind of things? So, always value coach's opinion, but then there are times where when we've evaluated a player from the press box and have several scouting reports on him, and coach really doesn't know him except playing against them. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a valuable evaluation as well, but probably rely more on the scouting reports on those cases.
We've seen a lot of things written and said about you as you took this job, about your past in Columbus, about being bold in trades, signing Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, how would you describe yourself as a GM in terms of how you want to operate with this club?
You know, the one thing that I said and is my life philosophy is that don't be afraid of making a mistake. So if we feel strongly that we need to do something, and even if it may be a difficult decision, we're going to do it. And that's something that I'm going to follow with this job as well. I'm not just trying to take big swings to take big swings or make the headlines. It's every move is going to be calculated and studied and considered. But then if we need to make a move, we'll make a move.
You can't make moves now till the roster freeze is over. You've got a team on a 6-game winning streak. What's the balance in, you know, making moves and putting your impact on it and just leaving well enough alone?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that there's no need to disrupt anything right now with a good flow going. So that's we're going to keep watching and evaluating always try to do what's best for the team and for the individuals on it.
What's it like seeing the confidence level of this club go up in the last couple of weeks? I mean, the game the other night, that was as controlled a game as I've seen this team play in a long time, and they look like they expect to win.
Yeah, the last two periods were clinical, I called it. I thought we played really well in the second and third period in New Jersey. But it's amazing what confidence does. I always say that if you could bottle that thing and just sell it, you'd be a billionaire, because it's everything. You know, these guys know what they're doing and they can do it eyes closed, but then sometimes the confidence gets a little shaky and it looks like they don't know what they're doing. But then when the confidence comes back, it's just easy. Everything is you rely on your instinct and you just play the game like they did in the backyard when they were kids. So it's great to see, but also the discipline of our team's gotten better, and that's also a big part of the success that we've had so far.
You raised some eyebrows at your press conference when you said, we want to be a playoff team, we can be a playoff team this year. Since then, the team has gone 3-0. I assume now you feel you're completely in this race and, you know, ready to contend for that spot when you're talking only like 3 points out.
Yeah, I felt it then, and I feel it now too. So, but you got to go one day at a time and just concentrate on what we can do today to get better and be a better team. And I've talked a lot about playing the right way to be disciplined and to be hard in battles and to compete. And I think we have enough skill, and I would say probably most of the hockey experts agree with that. But the competing part and the character is something that you have to be real consistent with in order to win in this league.
Contagious on his game. He's just lethal as anyone in the league. What stood out about him in this recent stretch here, about just how dynamic he's been?
No, I think confidence with him is a big thing too. Even though he's a star and with 44 goals last year, you know, sometimes the confidence takes ups and downs. And when you have success, you're going to look more confident. And he's got a lot of tools in his toolbox. He's extremely skilled for a guy that size. And then when he uses his size to his advantage, he can be even more effective of a player. There's not too many 6'7" players that weigh 230 pounds that have hands and skills like he has.
General, big picture, how much pressure are you feeling just from the Buffalo fan base, having not made the playoffs for 15 years?
I don't think about the 15 years. I don't think about any of that. I just think about today and what we can do moving forward. I see a lot of potential in our group. There's a lot of skill, and I've talked about the compete and character part and discipline to nauseam probably right now, but I believe in these guys. So I don't think about the past. I don't put too much thought into the future either. I just think about today.
Thanks, Jarmo. Back to you guys.
That was Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen with a number of Buffalo media, including our own Paul Hamilton, who will be on with Chris Bulldog Parker later today for Sabres pregame, 6 p.m. right here on WGR. Puck drop at 7. Sabres are at Ottawa. It's Josh Norris's return to the Senators as
finally
well.
Healthy, yeah. And able to make a return and playing on the ice. This will be the first Cousins-Norris matchup.
And
unlike quarterback matchups where they say Allen versus Mahomes,
right.
No, these players can be on the ice at the same time.
They can, in fact, play against each other.
They can, in fact, actually play against each other.
By the way, pretty good return, I think, for both teams. Sabres are probably wishing Norris was healthier, but Norris, when he's been on the ice, has been, I would argue, their most talented forward.
I think
he is maybe their most talented forward.
I'm going to say it with my chest. When healthy, Josh Norris is their best mm-hmm. forward on the team.
And then Dylan Cousins for Ottawa this year, 35 games played, 27 points, 11 goals. He's been very good for them as well.
Yes, and a couple good quotes, though, from Kekäläinen on that one of what's been going on with this team and everything like that. The big one, though, on his GM style. I liked the question that was framed that way and him saying, the one thing I've said, I live my life by it, don't be afraid of making a mistake. Oh, brother.
That felt like a major problem,
that's
I'd
kind
argue.
Of, it's also
in the last 10 years.
Kind of a pitch for how the deadline might go.
Yeah.
If they're in contention for a playoff spot, this might be the direction they go. You might see a prospect get shipped out of here. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm very intrigued with what Kekäläinen is going to do, and it's like you were alluding to there right before we had to kick over to it. There's a general manager now in charge of this team that is going to make a move if he sees the opportunity there.
Right, and he wanted to, because I like the question of, you know, when do you, you know, push, when do you pull, like when do you leave good enough alone? You know, don't rock the boat, any of that stuff. The team is 6 in a row, maybe even 7. You know, you don't want to add a player that all of a sudden ruins the chemistry. But likewise, you know, they've only lost 2 in a row. You don't want to totally change everything because you're worried about a losing streak. I like Kekäläinen's answer on that. But he has a history as a general manager that points to he's not going to do just nothing. And I think that was the biggest problem, the inaction of the last 5 years. And you know, and I wanted to put that because I said it the other night on Twitter. It's just he is the kind of guy that will do stuff whether they're succeeding or failing to help them.
He wants to be part of. He wants to fix it, whether it's he wants to supplement it
mm-hmm.
or he wants to fix it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's perfect. It does. It honestly, a big part of this, the Bergevin stuff as well, is really they more just feel like an average NHL organization. But that's way better than it's been over the last half decade.
And I do have more thoughts on that of, you know, easing some concerns about the old boys club narrative on that. But I think it's time to get to a break so that we can stay on a timely manner here.
Nah. 803-0550, the number to call. We are going to take a quick time out here. You want to give your thoughts on the Sabres and the Bills? Would love to hear them. We'll also get your tweets as well. Basically, you know, both the number 7 is big for both teams. 7 in a row, hopefully, for tonight with the Sabres. And then 7 years in a row for the playoffs of the Bills officially after last night. What do you feel about both teams? What are your conference levels for both teams? We'll get to that here when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. If you missed it, we did just listen back to, or well, listen live actually, to Sabres General Manager Jarmo Kekäläinen with a number of Sabres media, including our own Paul Hamilton. Paul will be along for Sabres pregame coming up at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. Sabres at Ottawa tonight, looking for their seventh straight win. The Bills played along with the number 7. They got into the playoffs for the seventh straight year. And yeah, it's weird. It's an NFC game, second to last week of the year. I'm way more locked into the Sabres and what they've got going on. In part, it's in many aspects still the early portion of the regular season. They're not even halfway through the season yet. I mean, they're getting close. Don't get me wrong, but
well, here's the thing. When you're forged in the fires of Sabres Twitter during this drought, I think everyone's going to understand when I say this. Yeah, I'm Sabre-pilled right now.
And see what happens.
And we'll see what happens here. But a win in Ottawa, again, puts this to your longest winning streak since 2018. And we are now having legitimate conversations of, oh, they really stormed their way back into this thing. You now no longer have to vault everybody. You have done a majority of the work at that point. And it turns into, all right, can you keep up with the rest of the league on average for the rest of the year? Maybe do a little bit better. Because a win tonight puts you ahead of Ottawa for sure. And then if Florida were to play and lose, they would also vault Florida. Both of those teams have 40 points. You're already ahead of Columbus. You're already ahead of Toronto. You would also vault the Rangers and the Penguins with a win tonight. Today's moving day. Have a chance. Put yourself in a conversation all over again here. And then if you were to beat Boston and really the 2025 calendar with this run,
mm-hmm.
Zach, they'd be hitting 40 points, but also more importantly than that, if they can find a way to close out like these next three games, Ottawa, Boston, it's at Ottawa, home Boston, at St. Louis. You win two of those three games. You're going into New Year's Eve against Dallas where, okay, it's not the end of the world if you lose to the Stars.
Right, right. And you'll be with everybody. I mean, the Atlantic, I think they're, what, only 4 points out of that? Mm-hmm. Of third. And then we mentioned the wild card race there, but like the Rangers have three games in hand on you. Boston, two games. You're both your wild card leaders being both metropolitan teams. The Islanders and the Devils both have a game in hand on you. So, I mean, like, look, you got to take advantage of those games, absolutely. But you're right. Like, they can put themselves in a position where, yeah, dropping a game to a West Coast team won't mean a ton. And, it's a lot of fun. It's not what it was a few years ago, like in 22, where they had that late season run or even the 10-game win streak, which is a ball. But it's getting really close. And I think in many aspects, what has helped it be more exciting is that even during the early portions of the win streak, they still made a change. They were not afraid to make a change. You know, I think in many aspects, it's very clear ownership is maybe taking a step back. We'll see if that lasts. But at least right now, it looks like ownership is taking a step back. And it is nice. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get your tweets in just a moment, but we'll get to the phones here first. Mo is up first this segment. Mo, how are we doing this morning?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to talk about the Eagles game and how I think that the Bills can expose their line. I don't think they have a good offensive line. I don't think the Eagles have much to play for. We owe them something. I think we can get to Jalen Hurts. But if Terrell Bernard has to play Mike, we're in trouble. If Shaq Thompson can't play, Matt Milano has to go to Mike. I mean, Terrell Bernard cannot play middle linebacker against Saquon Barkley. It's going to be a long day, but after that, I feel like we need to just continue to stay big hunt, big one seed game hunting. You know, hunt for that one seed. I don't care what the media says all day on the road. Hunt for that one seed and let's go. Thanks.
Mo, thanks for the call, man. And you know what's funny? We talked about this game at the start of the year that it might not mean much for either club based on the schedules and it's an NFC-AFC matchup late
in the
year. If
not for New England.
Yeah. And it could mean nothing.
Like, if not for New England, this game probably doesn't mean as much. Like, maybe you're fighting for the one seed, and that's pretty much it. But that's pretty much it. I do have one thing to dispute. You can't put Milano at the mic. He's too small.
It would, no, it is nice. Though,
I do understand what he's saying.
Thompson is part of the day-to-day crew, so it looks like he should be fine.
I do understand what you're saying. Terrell Bernard, I don't know what happened, but his play fell off a cliff this year. And
I think he just never, honestly, some of it's, I think he never got better, and his size is affecting him. He always had the big play, nose for the big play. But in between that would be, okay, we need to get better here. We need to get better here. Now I think it's just he hasn't developed, and his size is causing a huge problem for him.
And the turnovers aren't there.
And the big plays aren't there.
They're not as frequent this year. So, yeah, but Terrell Bernard, there's something. I don't know what's going on there, but you got to get that fixed because that extension now looks pretty gaudy and not good. But, yeah, hopefully Thompson's in. I understand your concerns there. The Saquon Barkley. That's not an easy matchup. I also know that the Bills have survived being run against for a good amount of this season. They have survived about it. It's when they don't have an answer for whatever the passing game is concocted from another team. In addition, that's where they get doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Like Miami, yeah, you got run all over. But what breaks the game open? Jalen Waddle on a bomb.
Right. Even you go back to Atlanta, it's Drake London in the first half that's killing you.
Who almost really puts the dagger in you at the end on the final play of the first half. First New England game. It's Diggs.
It's Diggs, yeah.
So a lot of their losses is, yeah, we got run on a little bit here, but we were able to stymie the passing attack in the wins. In the losses, it is. There's also a receiver cooking us. So don't let A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith do that. Or, more importantly, and this is a Milano highlight, Dallas Goedert.
Yep. No, absolutely. In terms of what the game will mean, though, it still doesn't mean a ton. It does not mean nothing. But for the Eagles, they can't really move anywhere. If they win this game, they stay at the 3. Even if Chicago, I think, loses, they will end up still staying at the 3. Chicago plays San Francisco. And yeah, it would go into week 18.
Chicago has to lose their final two games in order for the Chiefs to even have a chance to move up one spot.
And so Philly is sort of in this weird spot where they can't really move. The same is not set for the Bills. If the Bills do beat Philadelphia this weekend and then the Chargers lose to Houston, the Bills move up to the 5 seed. If the Chargers win that, Bills stay at the 6, Chargers stay at the 5, Houston stays at the 7, no real movement there. That is the important part. The idea of not having to play a Jacksonville team in the wild card round and instead playing Pittsburgh, I think, is truly night and day. And a lot of it has to go with the quarterbacks, but it's also how they're playing at the end of the year. Rodgers and that Steelers offense is not playing well to end the year at all. They won't have, by the way, DK Metcalf the rest of the regular season. He's suspended 2 games after his altercation with that Detroit fan.
I have a mildly controversial take.
Would you rather play Jacksonville over Pittsburgh?
It's that I wouldn't hate playing Jacksonville either.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out of the way if it's going to happen.
Right, if they're going to be a real problem, and again, that's maybe. You know, I don't know. That's the big thing of this,
Because then ready.
It's a bunch of unknowns.
But if you beat Jacksonville, okay. You took out one of the bigger threats that there is.
Yeah, then
on the road.
And then you never know. Houston, I really want this 7-2 matchup of Houston at New England. I don't love what C.J. Stroud has kind of turned into as a quarterback. Like, his rookie year seems a decade ago. But that defense against a quarterback in Drake May, who is ultimately untested. And we've also seen periods where they have just evaporated on offense. Recently against the Bills. But then the first half against Baltimore, really, you know, it takes Diggs getting him back into that game. But we mentioned it to start today. It also kind of took Baltimore shooting themselves in the foot.
Again.
No Derrick Henry for almost the last 13 minutes of the game, 12 minutes and 50 seconds. You know, Lamar Jackson gets hurt, and it's Tyler Huntley. And even still, they probably should win that game. It's at home. It's at Gillette, right? That could be a really tough matchup. But Stroud's been in the playoffs before. This is not his first rodeo. That defense is hungry as hell. And we're not going to go forever where a 7 doesn't beat a 2.
Right.
You know, or only one.
Especially
7 beats
with the caliber of what the seeds are looking like this year.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 of them, Houston, LA, Buffalo. And it's, if we go by projections, it's going to be the 3 of them on the road to start. But you can conceivably talk me into a road sweep of the wild card round, and then whoever's the 5 seed is hosting a game all of a sudden.
Right.
So you could talk me into that, especially with how this year's been going. I don't, like, all I want right now is, yeah, it'd be real nice to get the division. You still have to win a game anyway to help get yourself there. You also need to win some games to move yourself up the standings, mm-hmm. regardless. The Chargers are facing Houston and Denver to end their year. The Chargers have a pretty interesting setup to end this season. The Texans, they take on the Chargers, but then they end it with the Colts, mm-hmm. a team that might be happy to try to also slam the face in a rival, though.
Mm-hmm.
They might be happy to just mess some things up. Be that with Jacksonville or Houston. They might not be alive by then, but they can at least affect what the seeding looks like right. for the rest of the AFC South.
They can ruin a rival season, absolutely. I really like how these playoffs are turning out. I'd love for the Bills to be the one, don't get me wrong. I would love to just on wild card weekend watch potentially the chaos just unfold and not be a part of it. But you just look at, you know, we've talked about the NFC, but the AFC especially, even if it winds up being, like you said, 3-6 Buffalo at Jacksonville, that might be a really fun game. Because, and I don't really know how to put this, so I'll just kind of say it how I've been feeling about it. The Bills are not entitled to be now the main character because Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are not in the playoffs.
Right.
Other teams can ascend. It doesn't need to be your time just because, oh, the big dog's not here today.
He becomes a character that you pay attention to, but they don't, it's like you said, they don't have to be, it's not a requirement yeah. that like, oh, it's Allen's turn now. No, this ain't an MVP race.
There's a few young guys here who can really change how they're perceived nationally, how their teams are perceived nationally based off these playoffs. Denver, I think already just the fact that we're not that far off from all the dead cap money they had to take on from Russell Wilson and getting rid of him to now all of a sudden being the one seed in AFC and having one of the better defenses in football. They're dealing with injuries right now. Drake May and the New England Patriots with Mike Vrabel. Year two, boom, you're here. Welcome to the party. And then now Jacksonville with Liam Cohen had a weird start with the whole Duval and the eyebrow raise, but it's turned out really well. They bought at the deadline.
Mm-hmm. They bought at the draft. They moved up.
And they won't have Travis Hunter, and yet it kind of doesn't matter because of buying at the deadline, having Jacoby Myers. It's moved everyone where they need to be. Brian Thomas Jr. is not going over the middle of the
field
as much.
Does this mean we have to admit that Trent Baalke kind of knew what he was doing?
No. But with Jacksonville, though, Trevor Lawrence, and I've said it to you and Nate off air, I think I said it over air as well over the weekend, Lawrence is that guy.
Yes.
That I could see ascending only because of what his potential always was. He's 6'6", he's 220 pounds, he can move, he's got the arm. That's what you look for when you have a potential.
Best prospects since Andrew Luck.
Right. Now he's got the coach. Now he seems to have a lot of talent around him as well. And if he hosts Buffalo, he's only been in the playoffs one time. It's that comeback win against the Chargers
yep.
in just stunning fashion. And then they played a little bit close to Kansas City the following week. But he's new to this. He could ascend. But also, a lot of these guys could fall apart.
He could also be bad Trevor Lawrence that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Right. Look at Herbert last year, who is probably going to be in the playoffs this year.
It was last year.
Where he throws three picks the entire year.
And then he throws four in one
goes
game.
Goes to Houston, he throws four in one game.
Houston? Stop.
Sam Darnold last year looks to be a guy that's going to get this major contract, either from the Vikings or somebody else, in the last month or so, probably a little bit less than a month. He falls apart, and he's somewhat doing that now. He's playing much better than he was at the end of last year, but we kind of saw that, and by the time he plays the Rams, ultimately in Arizona, it's a disaster.
To build on the
same thing with Drake May, who he looks great all year. Guys, he's the MVP. We got to talk about this. Plays a Houston defense at home. He could fall apart, right?
And
that's why I'm excited for these playoffs. It's just a bunch of unknowns, where for the last 4 years, 5 years, it's been, where's Lamar, where's Mahomes, where's Allen? That's all that matters.
And sometimes where's
two
Burrow.
Two of those guys, and sometimes Burrow. But really, it was two of those four or three is going to be playing in the AFC Championship game. Let's get the ball rolling.
Let's get to it. And this is the part, and I think to wrap this segment up, that I'm going to hate myself for saying this, because it expounds on your point, though, of like, 7 years is a really long time, right? Making the playoffs 7 straight years. It's an accomplishment of sorts. Like, yeah, they haven't broken through. But that is also the timeline in which an entirely new era can start.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills are not a main character. Maybe they're a background character. So could that mean that the Bills messed up their best window of competition? Maybe. But this also could be a shift in power. Have the Bills managed to survive and stay within it? That is what in the year's future are going to have to determine. But this year could be a transitional year. The Bills are the only team out of that group that have a chance to slam the door and say, nah, it's Brucey's time to shine.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WWE. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Tuesday and a Festivus here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Real quick, the morning guys, we're talking Christmas movies. We can do this more tomorrow. I feel bad. I can do the whole sports movie conversation. I can get into that. For holiday movies, Christmas movies, if you want to just be very specific, I watch like two. And maybe three.
So then why are we doing this tomorrow?
Well, that's my thing is I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to them and I'm like, I know these, I've seen them at least once, but in terms of like, it's the Christmas season, I got to watch them. I'm like, no, it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and one of the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen. Not three, one or two. And that's it. Like that's the Godfather because it's on. It's on. It's every Christmas it's on. It's that and like A Christmas Story. You can always find them.
Christmas?
Yeah, parts of it does.
I guess.
The early portion of the movie takes part.
Have to use the definition, because then Die Hard, take it for what you will there.
But like, I feel bad. Like, I'm like, I can do this with sports movies all day, but like Christmas movies, I'll see them maybe once. They're classics. Like, I've seen a lot of the older movies. I'm somewhat of a cinephile. I enjoy that kind of stuff. Yeah. But past that, I'm like, okay, I've seen it. Moving on to the next.
Yep. I don't know if I could do much with the Christmas movie thing either. Like, the only thing I could say is, yeah, no, Jingle All the Way is fantastic. Like I said, if I'm not getting into a brawl with my local mail carrier about a Turbo Man action figure, what am I doing here with my life?
Did you even have the holiday season?
Did you even have the holiday spirit? If I'm not throwing bows, what am I doing here?
Absolutely.
No, instead, I took care of all my Christmas shopping already, and now I don't even feel anything.
And that's
numb right now.
That's a credit to
you. No, that it's not a credit to me. I need to not do that. I've got to go back to the old me.
That'll do it for us tonight. The Sabres are on at 7 at Ottawa, pregame at 6. But before that, Sabres Live coming up next. You're listening to WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.